A little bit late, I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel, and today is Volunteer Super Bowl Sunday, and really, so the message that you're going to hear today is really going to be spoken through the volunteers that we're going to be celebrating and honoring here this moment by video, and also here in a little bit by giving them a game ball. You know, first off, though, we've got some great things coming up at the church. If you've given your life to Jesus, the next step for you is getting water baptized. Water baptism is coming up on February the 18th. You take out the connection card, just simply sign up that way, give us your name and best phone. We'll get in contact with you and give you all the information that you need to know. Also, guys, every year we go on a missions trip, and this year we're going to the nation of Haiti and New Zealand. And so we're going to have a big missions meeting today, 2 p.m. I promise you we will get out before the game starts. 2 p.m. today in our upstairs offices. I'd love to see you there and be a part of reaching the nations. If you've never checked out our Facebook page, go to our Facebook pages where you can keep up with all that God is doing here in and through our church. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to give you the ESPN version. The ESPN version of Luke 22 today. That's simply, if you don't know about ESPN, the highlight reel of Luke 22. Here we have in Luke chapter 22, we have Jesus sitting down with his disciples, these men that have been following him for 3 years. He's sitting down with his disciples, and they're partaking of what's called the Last Supper or the Passover, what we call communion today in the New Testament. And really, if you look at Luke 22, verses 14 through 34, there's three things going on here. We see the disciples participating in communion. Then we see them begin to talk about what is greatness, defining what greatness really is. And then we see at the end, Jesus telling Peter that he is going to deny him. See, here's what's happening first. The nation of Israel was in bondage to the Egyptians, and God said he sent a deliverer named Moses. And this great deliverer shows up, comes to Pharaoh, and after, as we know, the 10 plagues, he sets the people free. But before they're about to go free, God institute what's called the Last Supper, the Passover. Because not only are they free from Pharaoh and the bondage of Egypt, but we see that they're free from what was to come, which was the angel of death. And the reason they called it Passover is because when the angel of death saw the blood upon the doorpost, what would he do? He would pass over. And so when they were celebrating this Last Supper, they would celebrate the Israelites this Last Supper because what God was going to do for them. And so they were doing this all throughout their lives. And here we have Jesus. Jesus was continuing the tradition that the Israelites did. He's sitting with the disciples. Now, in the Old Testament, the master or the one that was leading the home would be the one that would stand up and lead his family through the Last Supper or the Passover. But here we have Jesus representing what? The head of you and I, the church. He's now standing up as our master. And he's taking his men through what he calls communion. Now, again, in the past, when the master would stand up or the leader of the home would stand up and do this, he would talk about all the past, all that God had done. But it's interesting when Jesus stands up, he doesn't talk about the past any longer. He begins to talk about the future, talk about what he is about to do. I'm about to die on the cross for you. I'm about to shed my blood for you so that you can be forgiven of your sins, can be set free, have a new identity, and actually be a part of the mission that I'm sending you on. So Jesus begins to talk about this. The disciples, so we have to put ourselves kind of in this scene or in this scenario. Here we are, we're sitting at the table with Jesus. He's feeding us this bread. We're drinking this wine. It's also interesting what God uses or Jesus uses so that we can remember what he's done for us, one of our five senses. One of the five senses that we love the most, what? Our taste buds. Oh, we love our taste buds, don't we? There you go, Cody. We love our taste buds. That's interesting to me that Jesus used something that means so much to me to remind me of what he has done, because we never forget about a good meal, do we? I know I don't. Man, you need to eat this. We always forget about a bad meal. Honey, don't cook that again. I'm just kidding. My wife has never cooked a bad meal. Only when we first got married. No, I'm just kidding. She's not here to defend herself. Honey, don't come down from upstairs. So we remember a good meal. So Jesus, he does that. So why? When we eat that bread, man, we remember tangibly what he has done for us. Jesus is actually talking about him laying down his life, but somehow the conversation goes from Jesus talking about him laying down his life for others. The disciples begin to talk about how they're better than everybody else. It's totally going over the disciples' head what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus is trying to have an intimate, really painful moment with these men. He's talking about his death. He's going to have to go shed his blood. This is painful for Jesus. But yet, the disciples begin to have a conversation how great they are and how great they want to be. But what I love is Jesus, again, I'm giving the ESPN version, doesn't rebuke or get on the disciples for wanting to be great. Jesus, listen to me, loves the idea of you being great. He has made you and designed each and every one of us for that, for greatness. But he wants to make sure that our motivations are right in being great. See, Jesus, in our eyes, greatness is much different than in Jesus' eyes. In our eyes, greatness is what? Man, how much we climb the corporate ladder, what rank we are, what house we have, how much money we make, what car we drive. Do I have influence over others or others looking to me to make decisions? This is usually how we define greatness. But Jesus, he is counterculture. He's building a counterculture to what you and I think and how you and I live. Jesus, in his eyes, greatness is what? Serving others, making others great. When you and I choose to, in a sense, humble ourselves and come under someone to see them succeed, to see them go to the next level. Because when we do that, we actually enter into what Jesus calls greatness, a God kind of greatness. So he doesn't get mad at them for wanting to be great. He just wants to make sure that they know what greatness is. And he says, greatness is what? It's serving others. He says right here, he says, the kings, he's defining greatness of the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them. And those in authority, those that you oftentimes look to and think that are great, those in authority over them are called benefactors. But I love this next statement, talking to you and I. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become what? As the youngest. And the leader as the one who serves. Now, that word benefactor is not a word that we use today. And what he was identifying is what they had there in those days was called the patronage system. And that simply was is that people in higher rank would oftentimes serve those that were lower than them. But they would do it with the wrong motivation. Basically, they did it. They say, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I'm doing this for you because one day I'm going to come knocking and I'm going to need you to do something for me. Kind of like how the mafia system works. Yeah, I'll do this for you, but one day I'm going to come knocking and you're going to have to do this for me. Therefore, the relationships, these higher people would make sure they built the right relationships, people that were on their way up, people that were about to have success. Why? Because they wanted to benefit from it. But Jesus looks at us and says, what? But not so among you. Meaning you don't serve people to get something for people. You serve them because I love them and I've called you. Whether they like you or don't like you or going to love you and serve you back, you do it anyways. Because that is what greatness is. Greatness is when you choose as a follower of Christ to put your needs above, somebody else's needs above your own needs. Now this is tough. Because this rubs against everything that we are. And what we're celebrating today are those that have done this. Now, there's more than just what we're going to celebrate. All of you guys that serve on one of our volunteer teams, you are putting someone else's needs above your own. Let me just say thank you to every one of you today. Because as the pastor at this church, you are what make Bethel great. It's not me. It's not Pastor Richard. By the way, he's doing a lot better. He should come home from the hospital today. It's not us that make, there you go, Pastor Richard's recovering well. I told him, Dr. Mike, if he wanted some time off, all he had to do was ask. Didn't have to have a heart attack. But he is doing better. He'll be back here soon. So what makes this great is not us, it's you. And this is why. Jesus is building a family here. And a family supposed to serve one another. Now, when you celebrated the Last Supper or the Passover, you always did it with your natural family. But here Jesus, he has the audacity to pull these men away from their natural family to bring them together to serve this Passover meal, to partake of the Last Supper. What's Jesus doing? He's showing us that he is building a new kingdom. And he's called us to be a part of a new family. Not that we forsake our natural family. Obviously, we love our families, our extended families, all of that. But he's also called us to be a part of a spiritual family. And that spiritual family is on mission together to change wherever God has them for that moment in that period of time. And right here for you and I is Clarksville, Fort Campbell, Hopkinsville, and Pleasant View. Amen? All the surrounding counties. This is our area for you and I to come together and reach. And God, what he does is he establishes his church. Now, a church is not just what happens on Sunday morning. A church, you are the church. Everywhere you go, guess what? Bethel goes with you because you are Bethel. You are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, God uses Sunday morning in a powerful way. When do we have the opportunity to impact over 800 people in one moment throughout the week? Really just on a Sunday morning. This is why we encourage you to be a part, because when you come up be a part of a volunteer team, you're more than just, it's more than just, hey, I get to be a part of what God's doing at Bethel. No, you get the opportunity to see someone else impacted the same way you're impacted. Let me help you understand this greater, in a better way. People have obstacles when it comes to coming to Jesus. People have obstacles when it comes to coming to church on a Sunday morning, don't they? I mean, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. If you have children, one missing sock can stop the whole kingdom of God in your life. Where's that shoe, honey? Where's that sock? I know all you mamas have said that before. Well, forget it, we're not going, we're just staying home. It's an obstacle. Think about all the Holy Spirit does to get you here on a Sunday morning. He wakes you up, or either alarm, he partners with the alarm clock to wake you up. You get dressed, you get your kids dressed, you got kids, you drive here. If you come to second service, it's sometimes hard to find a parking space. You get here to the building, you check your kids in, you finally get here in the sanctuary, and I'm sure it's like, oh, all right, we made it. But there's stuff going on behind the scenes to help you get here. See, the Holy Spirit does so much to get you here, then we, as followers of Christ, have to partner with the Holy Spirit to tear down some obstacles. This is why we have our volunteer teams. You think about the parking lot team. The parking lot, if you can't find a parking space, you might drive in and drive right back out and leave and go somewhere else. So our parking lot team, they create space for you to feel welcome. Our greeters, our cafe. You think about our cafe. Listen, we have coffee here on a Sunday morning. Yes, because it smells good, but also because it actually is doing something, especially for all the men in the room. Men, we love holding something. We go to a new place. We love to hold something in our hands. Because us holding something in our hands, what does it do? It makes us feel more comfortable. We're so insecure as men, we feel like, man, I can hide behind this cup. Especially on Sunday morning at church. Especially if you're new. I remember walking into a place like Bethel for the first time. People clapping their hands, raising their hands. I'm thinking, this is weird. Because in my church, you just stood like this. You didn't say anything. You didn't clap your hands, none of that. And so, man, when music starts, thank God I got something in my hand. I don't have to lift my hands. I don't have to. I got an excuse. I'm holding this cup of coffee. But what it does, it begins to tear down these obstacles in your life from coming to Jesus. Children's ministry. Think about children's ministry. As a parent, I mean, golly, you show up to a church. You've never been here before. And then you have these weird people wanting to take your kids. And so here you are, you're about to hand your precious gift over. Now, some of you are like, here, take them, I'm done. But some of us are like, oh, okay, here. But you see things that tears down the fear that you have. You see the cameras, you see the TVs. What are they there for? They're there to make you feel, these people actually want my child to be safe. You think about the police officer. Praise God for our police officer that shows up every Sunday. What is that there? He's there to make you, us as parents, feel safe that I can drop my children off. I got the cameras. I got my number. Man, I'm good to go. I can come into the sanctuary. Now I can actually sit down and do what? Pay attention. I'm not overcome by fear, wondering, oh God, what's happening to my kid? What's going on? No, it's clear. They're safe. They're being taken care of. So now I can sit down and I actually can listen to what God wants to say to me that morning. This is why serving in children's ministry is vital. I'm telling you, people coming to Jesus, you think these things are menial? They are not menial, my friends. Parking lot, greeters, ushers, connection point, cafe, children's ministry, every one of those things. Make Bethel a great church. And today we want to honor some of our volunteers that have made this church great and really, really caused a lot of you guys to say yes to Jesus and also helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And we have a video really to honor them this morning.
What's up, Bethel? This is Sergio. Welcome to the 9th annual Volunteer Super Bowl Sunday. You may be asking yourself, well, what is that? Well, every year around this time, around the time of the Super Bowl, we like to honor some of the people who have gone out and stepped out of faith and served in their church. They've gotten in the game. God is doing something in their lives. And when God does something in you, it stirs something in you. And you start to want to serve. You start to want to give. And you start to want to do stuff for your church and your community. So we want to recognize, while these people stepped out, they're not looking for prestige and they're not looking for people to give them a pat on the back, but we want to honor them. We want to give them a pat on the back. So let's look at some of our all-stars and give us some props. Kelly Gilroy, connection point. She connected people like pieces in a Lego set, stacking them up and sending them out with a smile and a song. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Rodney Gilroy, connection point. He's connected more people to Bethel than Mark Zuckerberg to Facebook. How about them Cowboys? Kristen Mezels, Rush Youth Leader. She shines brighter than the stadium lights, engaging the youth quicker than a Bill Belichick post-game press conference. Cody Mezels, Rush Youth Leader. Sowing more true seed than the poor has need. He got more game than Tom Brady's got fame. Xavier Alexander Ford Smith, go kids. He got more names than his parents got kids. Special quote, I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mom and dad. You say Michaela, I say Michaela Smith, go kids. Serving more kids than eBay's got bids. Delilah Smith, go kids. We searched Google, and we still couldn't find her any competition. Special quote, yes, they are all mine. Rob Smith, go kids. I hope you like animals, because he's a beast when it comes to serving. Special quote, this is my happy face. Markel Coleman, parking lot. He's as cool as the other side of the pillow. Special quote, this space is for you. What else can Markel do? Catrice Butler, go kids. Get your popcorn ready, because she's about to put on a show. Special quote, back away from the diaper genie, because I'm going in. Kiara Larkin, go kids check-in team. Rain, sleet, or snow, she'll be checking you in like, whoa, she ain't slow. You want some more? Carolyn Larkin, go kids check-in team. She'll check you in even if you don't have kids. Yeah, this is your number. Don't lose it. Marcellus Pierre, parking lot. What does Marcellus look like? What does Marcellus look like? He's that guy standing by your ride. He won't tell you, but he does take tips. Willie Saunders, the worship team drummer. Special quote, I feel like I'm the best, but you'll never hear me say that. Amina Wells, go kids. You say Amina, I say Amana. Can I buy a vowel? She stays cool under pressure. You can't shake her out of the zone. Michelle Lombardo Global Cafe. The best part of waking up is Michelle Lombardo serving you a cup. She'll be here at 9 a.m. no matter what time it is. Special quote, are you awake? Drink this. Michael Lombardo, Global Cafe. He does not take checks, straight cash, homie. Serving more coffee than a caffeine conference. Angelica Hebron, Global Cafe. She makes coffee so good, if it was any better, God would have kept it for himself. Sarah Marai, Go Kids. You can't stop her, you can only hope to contain her. Floating from room to room saying, don't worry, mama will be back. Demetrius Thomas, Reader. Special skills, he can turn your worst day into your best day. Special quote, if he gives you a 60% smile, it works 100% of the time. Now that concludes our 2017 All-Star roster. Now, Bethel, I believe in you. You have what it takes to get off that bench and get in the game. And I believe in to see a lot of you that are sitting there on the bench this year to get in the game and be on that All-Star roster next year. Now, Bethel, as always, you stay classy. Woo!
All right, all right. Let's give them one more big hand clap, all of our amazing volunteers. You know, we do want to honor some of the volunteers. We want to give them a game ball, really just another level that they have really taken and did with, for our church. And some of them are on the video, some are not. I'm going to call them up here. They've been here three services, too. They've been here all day long. But let's give them a big hand clap. First off, Kiara Larkin. Kiara, come on up here. This is Kiara, guys. Also, her amazing mama, Miss Carolyn Larkin. Miss Carolyn, come on up here. Look, we love these two. Checking oftentimes can be very chaotic. And they do such a great job of making our parents feel so comfortable here at Bethel. A gentleman in our Go Kids, Levi. Come on, Levi. Give it up for Levi. Love Levi. Listen, men, our children need us serving in our children's ministry. And Levi shows us that you can be a man and still serve in our children's ministry. So, men, we're calling you forth. Thank you so much, Levi. From the worship team, Ebony Todd. Ebony, come on up here. Woo! Come on, Ebony. Ebony's waddling up here, a little pregnant belly. Come on up, Ebony. We love Ebony. Ebony's such a blessing to our worship team, especially my wife. She has been always so encouraging. You made it, girl. Also from the worship team, Kathy Robinson. Come on, Kathy. Woo! Kathy serves in the Global Cafe and our worship team. She serves also in children. She does everything here at Bethel. Willie from our worship team, Sanders. Come on up, Willie. We love Willie so much. Willie's one of our amazing drummers here at Bethel. Also on our worship team, Gerald Lee. Come on, Gerald. Woo! Gerald has been with us really from pretty much the beginning of Bethel, been a volunteer, serving our worship team for over 12 years now. Just been an amazing blessing. Him and his wife, Anna, just amazing here at Bethel. One of our Rush leaders we want to honor today, and that's Nicole Vasquez. Nicole, come on up here, sweetheart. We love Nicole so much. Nicole's got an amazing story of what God's done in her life. She serves as one of our youth leaders. She also serves as the media. Someday, Nicole's going to be full-time ministry here at Bethel. Last one is from our greeter team, and that's Rachel. Come on up here, Rachel. God has done so many amazing things in Rachel's family and her life. Her kids are coming. I mean, it's just been amazing. And Rachel's one of our greeters here. Rachel, we love you so much. Give a big hand clap for our... Come on, game ball participants this year. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for each of these individuals, Lord. All we saw on video, but also all the other ones, God, that serve on a volunteer team. Lord, I pray, God, you said seek first your kingdom and everything else. God, I pray everything else will be added to these men and women that are putting you first and your church first. Bless my friends in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them one more big hand clap. Thank you guys so much. They get to keep their football. Keep the ball. They've had to give it back every service, but now they get to keep it. Keep your ball. I better see it on your mantles at home when I come over.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Not in the toy box. That's right.